Well, Gretchen mentioned that part of what was so compelling for her when she visited this church so many years ago was that she sensed that God was present here, that she found herself interacting with God, having maybe a fuller or richer experience than she was expecting to at her church. My story is very much the same. I visited this church with my wife, Grace, and with our one and just second, I think, very young child, maybe a dozen years ago. And we, too, were looking for a church we could connect with, visited once, and felt like God spoke to us in some way in our visit on that Sunday. Then we came back another week, and it happened again, and a third week, and it happened again, and a fourth, and it happened again, and we just never went anywhere else because we found that that could happen for you anywhere, but for us, that was happening here, and we wanted to stay around, and we have. That experience of feeling like God is present, that he's not just a concept in your head, but he's sort of in the room and he's available to you, whether through your feelings or through your body or through your mind or even sensing God speak to you, is going to be the focus of our service today. And so I'll draw your attention to, real quick, to the scriptures that are in the inside flap of your program. We're going to have a bit of a talk show format today, not a regular talk from me or one of our pastors, but let me just set the stage for what Chuck and Mary Ann and I are going to talk about. The book of Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament, and it's a collection of stories. It's really the history of the first generation of Jesus followers in the years and decades immediately after Jesus' death and resurrection. And one of the kind of pivotal moments in the book of Acts is when people realize that something Jesus hinted at and promised at, that his story wasn't just going to be for his ethnicity and his locality, Jews living in Jerusalem and surrounding area of Judea, but it was going to be available for the whole earth to anyone who wanted. This is kind of a pivotal moment in that story. So let me read this excerpt real quick. It says, "Just then, three men who had been sent from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were staying. The Holy Spirit told me to go with them and not to worry that they were Gentiles." This is Jewish Peter, one of the first disciples, followers of Jesus, a leader in these early church community. "These six brothers here accompanied me, and we soon entered the home of the man who had sent for us. He told us how an angel had appeared to him in his home and said to him, 'Send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He will tell you how you and everyone in your household can be saved.' And as he began to speak," Peter continued, "the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as he fell on us at the beginning. Then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way?" This is a remarkable story that Peter is telling some friends after it happened. There's so many remarkable things about the story. There are angels speaking. There's the fact that Peter had this very strange and unusual vision of eating foods that were prohibited to him as a Jew, and God spoke to him through that vision. There's the fact that someone who was a stranger to him at the same time had their own vision from God and were told to go get this person by name that they didn't know in this town they didn't live in, and he's going to come help you figure out what I'm doing. And they go and send for Peter, and that guy that God told them about was there in that place at that time and then came. Right? All these remarkable sort of supernatural, unexpected events. But the thing that Peter comments on is most extraordinary is this thing that happened, which he calls them being filled with the Holy Spirit. That when he prayed for them, God showed up in not just an unseen way, but a felt and experienced way. This experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, of not just knowing God is with you, but actually experiencing God is with you, is this incredibly powerful experience that happens often for the first follower of Jesus, as recorded in the Bibles, and it's century after century after century since then. For the past 2,000 years, people have continued to experience all around the earth in all kinds of cultures in all different ways. Some of that experience is quite quiet. This morning, I woke up at about 5 undistracted minutes where I sat there and reflected on a particular kind of famous line from a psalm, a song that's in the Bible, and I felt a deep sense of peace. A sense of like peace that was a little deeper than I experienced in a week or two, that was qualitatively like freeing. Just, I feel like I breathed for the first time in 2 weeks. Very quiet, but I realized I was experiencing God with me, bringing me peace, and that was the filling of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes this happens in much more dramatic ways for people, where they experience something physically they're not expecting, they experience something emotionally they're not expecting, whether it be really happy, or whether it be kind of sad, whether they're moved to tears, or laughter. Sometimes it happens through people praying in ways they didn't expect to pray. Again, whether they have any experience with God or lots of experience with God. The teaching of the Bible and the experience of people trying to follow Jesus and get to God, get to know God over the centuries has consistently been that whatever little move people try and make toward God, they find God making a much bigger move toward them. And while all people who want to know Jesus experience this Holy Spirit, whether aware of it or not, experience God is present with them, there seems to be these experiences beyond that baseline level where people experience a little more of God or sometimes a lot more of God. And the New Testament often calls that the filling of the Holy Spirit. The second scripture, which I won't read for you, but which I dropped in there so you can look at it later if you want, talks again about that experience. And on the one hand, compares it being drunk with wine, right? Because again, it's a kind of a sensory experience, something that is kind of overpowering and rich that you feel, but also says that unlike being drunk with wine, which won't necessarily empower anything after it happens, that being filled with the Holy Spirit will empower a kind of life you want to live. That sense of being close to God will give you new power, new direction, new hope, a new qualitatively kind of inner self that will help you live the life you want to live. And so this summer, as we've been talking about flourishing, and that series is coming to an end next week as I wrap it up, we thought this would be a great time to one Sunday focus particularly on this experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit or encountering more of God, whether you've known God before or not. And as we decide to do that, I really want to have our pastors, Chuck and Marianne, join us. Chuck and Marianne don't speak often. They do lots of other things here as pastors, but they have a really neat story of encountering God in a dramatic way, midlife, not early in life, and having the beginning of flourishing again flow out of that. Some of you know Chuck and Marianne well, but I expect you'll hear elements of this story you haven't heard before. And for some of you, they are people you don't know, but I think you'll find their story intriguing and rich. And so Chuck and Marianne, I'm so grateful you can join us. Everyone's clap for you again. Why don't we clap for them again? Hello, our color-coded, beautiful pair. Thanks for joining me. We'll sit down here and make ourselves at home. Chuck and Marianne, why don't you introduce yourselves for those that don't know you so well, including, you know, how you met.
So I'm Chuck, this is Marianne. And I just want to point out that our youngest daughter, Ingrid, graduated from Gordon College in math, and she had a great experience. And three kids and a good job later, she's doing well. Anyway, Marianne and I met about 50 years ago in Southern California at the headquarters of an international campus ministry. And the first time we set eyes on one another, it was friendship at first sight, and we were really good friends. And we ended up being assigned to the same campus at University of Oregon, Oregon State. We were up there, and we did ministry together, which was incredible. But after about a year and a half of this, we fell in love. It was really cool, and just like it's supposed to, you know, we fell in love, and we got married shortly after, and then we ended up having three kids, and we were all over the world, and now we're here. And we did teach, but we both taught school too. So we're school teachers and we really appreciate and know the pain you go through sometimes. Okay.
And the joy.
And the joy.
Okay. Three cheers for all the former educators of the world.
Yes.
And current educators.
So. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take Chuck and Marianne to a particular phase of their life. And in the early 1990s, so you're each approaching 50 years old, tell us about how life was going for you at that point. And how your marriage was going as well.
I want to say we were approaching 50, but that, I know for a lot of you that seems really old, but it's not. As you get older, you realize 50 is just starting. But we were older in our marriage, and I remember one night, I'll never forget this night, we were going to bed, and I was laying there, and Marianne turned to me and said, in a few words, I just want you to know I'm interested in another man. And that was so shocking. No man wants to hear that. That was, in fact, I couldn't even talk about it then. I was devastated. I didn't, had a lot of questions, but I didn't ask. And I just got out of bed and I went out and walked the streets of Portland, Maine for 3 hours crying out to God. And I just came up with one solution to all of this, and I need to go to a counselor. I need to get Marianne fixed. I need to, you know, work on her relationship. She needs to work on her relationship, but.
Right. So Chuck wanted me to go to counseling, but I was not the least bit interested. And so he went on his own for a while. Eventually, I agreed, and I went with him. The counselor we saw, I was surprised by the question he asked me in the session. He said, "Do you feel cherished by," I think he said, "this man," or "do you feel cherished by Chuck?" And I thought, wow, cherished. I would love to be able to say yes to that question, but I can't, and I don't want to have to say no. So I just reached over and patted Chuck on the leg, and the counselor kind of gave the look like, So...
Well, that was a wake-up for me. It was obvious that she wasn't feeling cherished by me, and for some reason I began to realize that Marianne wasn't the entire problem. I was a big part of it, and it was a wake-up call for me to do more.
However, I was part of the problem, a big part of the problem, but little did Chuck know at that point that I was having an ongoing affair. This was a secret that I had kept from him, and through all the counseling that we had later, I began to understand that this was fueled by the anger that I had let build up in our marriage over the years, which started probably back in the second year we were married. The issue in our marriage was that I wasn't spiritual enough for Chuck. I'll just say that. Maybe I was spiritual enough. I think I was spiritual enough. I was enough. But he didn't think I was, so that was kind of a thing between us. And there was one time when we were on the beach in Santa Barbara, we were with friends, and I said something that sounded really good and spiritual that he liked, and in front of them, but then he made fun of me or kind of said, "Oh, you finally said it." And then I was so mad inside because I felt embarrassed. So that was a point where I later found out through counseling that I had made a vow, and I said, "Okay, fine. I will stay in this marriage, but you are never going to get 100% of me emotionally." So I thought that would make me feel safe, but it really created more problems.
Of course, we didn't know anything about vows then, but that vow really was something in our relationship. Because she did that, I always felt like I couldn't get all of her. That was really true. It was successful and went on for years. But the problem from my point of view, we were part of this group for 19 years, and God was really moving back in those days. Some people call it the Jesus movement, and that there was a lot of good stuff happening, and I felt like I was part of the greatest group the earth had ever seen. You know how it is, you feel like you're really special, and I had a special connection to the leader, and I think I was kind of addicted to that. I felt like, you know, I'm special, and so suddenly I got drawn in, and if Marianne blocked that in any way, if I didn't think she was as spiritual as I thought she should be, for example, I didn't want her to hang any pictures on the wall because that was too worldly at the time, you know, that kind of stuff. But anyway, in the end, because I wasn't getting what I wanted from Marianne, so it ended up at school, I was drawn to a young woman there who we just became good friends, and she loved being around me. She asked me a lot of questions, and I felt really, really appreciated by her, and we just had conversations. My goal was to convert her. I was telling her about Jesus all the time. I was doing God's will. You know how that is, and we can sort of talk ourselves into things. But one day, I was telling my friend about it, and he said, "Chuck, you probably never would have an affair, but you are having a spiritual affair. An emotional affair. You're having an emotional affair." And it just sneaks up on you, but you realize, that was true and it was wrong.
We were at a school Christmas party for his school around that time, and I was in the bathroom fixing my hair and lipstick, and this other gal that was the teacher that he was interested in was in there, and then she said, "Oh, your husband is so great. I think he's so much interesting," and she was going on and on, and I thought, "Oh, I can't believe this." And then so I just said, "Well, if you like him so much, you can have him." But I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I was that mad at him that I was gonna give her permission.
And I say she had good taste.
So I'm sure many more stories could be told from this era. But it'd be fair to summarize that this was a low point in life, a low point in your marriage, certainly, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So around this same time, in the early to mid-1990s, there was an unusual thing going on in Vineyard churches, particularly this church in Toronto, just northwest of us. And so when our church was founded in the 90s, Gretchen mentioned we were part of a group of churches called Vineyard Churches. At the time, this church in Toronto was also part of that group, Vineyard Churches, as well. And since the late 70s, early 80s, through that time, people in this group of churches had experienced, not just privately, but often in their gatherings together, something of this kind of presence of God that I talked about in the beginning, this presence of the Holy Spirit. And at this point in Toronto, this church that later also left the group of Vineyard churches, but at the time they were experiencing that fairly dramatically and to such degree and with such numbers that people were hearing about it sort of all around North America, at least in kind of churchy circles, some other places as well. I know when I was a college student in the Boston area, I heard about this thing going on in Toronto, and I know Chuck and Marion, you heard about this as well, and you went up there for a visit. So tell us how you heard about it and why you went and what happened there.
Okay, so Chuck's going to give you the details about how that happened. We did end up going to a lot of counseling, and then, but still, our marriage was much, much better, but we felt dry and kind of distant from God, and we had not, I just want to flag this, we had not disclosed the degree of the relationships that we had going on apart from each other in our marriage to each other. So that was not a good thing. We had secrets from each other at this point. And then that summer.
So we were dry and we were looking for more. And I think one thing I'll say about myself is we were part of a lot of Christian, we were part of Christian groups in that. But if anybody implied that you need more of the Holy Spirit, I would run the other way. I said, listen, I got all the Holy Spirit I need when I met Jesus. I don't need any more Holy Spirit. You know, that was my reaction. So one day, we're in our living room doing a small group, and these two young men from Switzerland came through, and they were telling us they're on their way to Toronto because they'd heard about this amazing move from God up there. And I made fun of them and said, oh, you're going up there to get more of the Holy Spirit? And I was kind of mocking them and making fun. And they came back after a week and came into the same living room and said, you need to be careful how you talk about the Holy Spirit. God's really moving up there. And so that kind of got my attention. And then that summer, I met or talked to someone else from Southern California, our good friends, and said, you've got to go up there. There's something going on. And then a Norwegian friend had a similar experience. He went there and cried for a week on the floor and said it was life-changing for him. But finally, the final, you know, blow was when we met a pastor friend on a ferry boat in the San Juan Islands in Washington State, who was from Spokane, but we'd met at a conference. He and his wife were on that boat. What are the chances? Anyway, and we went up to them and say hi, and the first words out of their mouth after they said hello was, hey, we just came back from Toronto. We spent 11 days up there, and it was life-changing. And he, you know, he gave me a lot of tips, and it was so amazing. I said, okay, I think I'm going to go up.
I thought, if I hear one more person tell us that we should go to Toronto, I'm going to scream. And I was not interested. Chuck had already kind of been talking about maybe going, and I had decided, well, I don't have to go with you. You can go on your own. And he arranged to go with a friend, and I was okay with that. But then his friend canceled because something came up. And then Chuck said, oh, why don't you come with me? I don't want to go alone, and I already got the hotel room. And so I said, okay. And then I said, well, I don't know. And then he says, well, you could take the credit card and just go shopping. You don't even have to go to the meetings. So I thought, ooh, shopping. I can do it.
One of my better ideas.
So so we did go. And it was a huge room, probably 3,000 people in there. The first night we went, we sat on the last row next to the door so we could make a quick getaway in case it wasn't okay. But I heard some really good talks about Jesus, and people, it was really positive. But there were also some other things going on at the time that I thought, oh, I don't understand that. The whole section, like this whole Gordon College section over here would be cracking up laughing, but there was nothing funny said. And somebody over here would be shaking. And I thought, man, this is strange. But then the speaker that night got up and said, we need to ask when this kind of thing goes on, what does it mean and what is it for? He said, I believe is it to get us to back to our or to follow Jesus and to get other people to experience that too. And I thought that really makes sense. I liked that.
So now we're at the end of our first meeting where people are coming from all over the world and end up going on for 12 years. It was amazing. We're sitting in the back, and Marianne, this is her time to exit. So she got the car keys, got in the car, went back to the hotel because this is a time where they pray for you. But I had gotten my instructions, And it said, okay, when you come to the end of the speaking, they're going to invite you to come forward. So what you do, you need to get up there as fast as you can, get as close to the front you can, because that's where there's more power. You know, and I'm taking notes and, you know, anyway, so I took notes and I did it, but I was scared to death. I mean, I was doing this totally out of faith, but I went forward. I've never done anything like this in my life, but I got up there and I actually received prayer. It was very gentle. I mean, someone didn't, you know, they didn't try to knock me over or anything. They just prayed gently for me. And suddenly the Holy Spirit just came on me and I just felt so much peace. I felt the peace of God. I just sort of collapsed right there. And, anyway, it was a neat experience that I got. He said, also get as much prayer as you can. So I got up and got prayer from two or three more times, you know, more the better kind of thing. So then I go back to the hotel about 1 a.m. now. This had been going on for a while. And I wake up Marianne. I said, guess what? I just got prayer. It was so neat. You know, I said, it felt like taking a warm bath in God. Now, that's pretty cool, right? That's a neat experience. But to Marianne, it was weird, and now Chuck is having this experience that I'm not. I'm getting left behind again, and here we go again. And so we had 3 days of just working things through, arguing. You know, I'm getting prayer and excited, but this thing between us is going on. And after 3 days, we talked in the car, and I cried. I said, I'm sorry I brought you up here. We can go back. And so...
Yeah, he really was sorry, and I was being kind of a jerk, too, those 3 days fighting it all. But so we ended up praying that night for a very short time, and I remember saying, God, if this is of you, I want to be open. So I, you know, just a crack. So the next day, we went to the morning meeting. I didn't want to get prayer, took my walking shoes, went for my walk, came back. By then, almost everybody had cleared out. And I couldn't see Chuck, so I walked up to the front. I thought, wow, I'm really getting close to the front here. And then he came over and said, oh, do you want to get prayer? I go, no. And then he said, well, what if I get somebody to come and pray for you? I'll go find somebody. And I kind of hesitated. I went, well, he was off. And then he comes back and he brings this sweet little blonde woman dressed in silk and jewelry, and she had makeup on. I thought, okay, she looks safe. I'll let her pray for me. She was not straight-laced, sober, and sad. She was looking normal. So I thought that was okay. I let her pray for me. She first asked me, do you ever raise your hands to praise the Lord? And I said, oh, I could never do that. I would really like to do that, but I'm too uptight. I just couldn't do it. And she said, well, can you put your hands out in front of you like you want to receive something from God? I said, oh, I could do that. So then I just stood there. She says, okay, I'll pray. Don't you pray. I'll pray for you. And so she started praying for me. And the next thing I knew, my knees felt like jello. I went to the floor, and Chuck was right there to help me down. And then I heard in my ear, all I want to do is love you. And I felt like that was God talking to me. And I thought, what? That's all this is about? And I've been fighting this for 3 and 4 days? So that was a really wonderful moment for me.
So think about this. Here we are. We had these rough years in our marriage. And then we got the counseling. And then we had 3 really hard days here. And so suddenly... For a moment, at this moment, we had both been experiencing God in a powerful way. We both had our own experience, and we shared it. Now we're going back to the hotel room. We're in the elevator, and nobody else in the elevator, and we're looking at one another, and we just started giggling. There's a distance between us. She's over there. I was over here. We're looking. We're just kind of giggling, and nobody was telling a joke. We were just giggling because we were just full of God's joy, and it was so wonderful, and it was a moment I'll never forget. I think God's just saying, it's time that you guys quit taking yourself so seriously and just enjoy me more, and that's what happened.
So I got prayer the night again from the same woman who was there, and then the next day, a different prayer team was there to pray for people at the end of the service, so I let her another lady pray for me, and I was on the floor, and my elbow, I was just experiencing a lot of peace. It felt really good, and not worrying about anything, and so there was music going on, and my arm started moving, because I had my elbows on the floor, and one started going like this, and then the other arms kind of started moving slowly. I thought, what? I'm not moving my arms, but my arms are moving. Then they started speeding up, and the other one started speeding up. It was just strange, but I thought, I don't believe in this kind of stuff. How can this be happening? I don't even believe in this, but this is happening. And then I remembered the night before, the couple nights before, the guy said, well, when something like this happens, we need to ask, what does it mean and what is it for? So I said, okay, I'm going to ask God. God, what does this mean and what is it for? And then I heard in my own head, I'm going to loosen you up so you can raise your hands to praise me. I thought, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. I'm so excited about that. So, well, that was it. And so then when we went back to Portland, Maine, and the church we were attending at the time, there were two people who would raise their hands. The pastor at the end of the service, like that, and then this Russian guy in the balcony. And then there was me. So now there were three. The Russian guy, me, and the pastor. Woo-hoo! So I was very excited that I could feel free to do that.
You became one of the crazy ones.
Yes. That's right.
Freedom! So anyway, we were really having a good time now. In fact, too good. We didn't want to leave. We were both teachers. We had the summer off. We said, well, we can stay all summer here. We ended up staying 9 days because our kids said, come on back. We need you at home, you know, and so we came back. But one thing that was really neat, on the way home, we stopped at a hotel to spend the night. And when we're in the hotel, we were just going to sleep. We're in bed, and we just said, I wonder, we had this one, we were at this conference. It was so amazing. God's so real in the Holy Spirit. But, you know how conferences go. You have a great time, then you go home, and then it's a disaster. Well, we were there, and we just said, Holy Spirit, would you come now while we're laying here? And suddenly, we were just flooded with God's presence, and we just felt so encouraged. And you know, it's like we were still there, and it's like we realized that something different happened. We got more of the Holy Spirit, and he was with us. As long as we wanted him to come, he was there, and that was really cool.
So this 9-day trip was obviously a really vivid experience for you, but tell us how it continued for you, what change you started experiencing after those 9 days. It's okay.
That was good. So I think the main thing was that our whole marriage, we just lightened up. We enjoyed the moment more. We laughed more. We felt closer to Jesus. We desired to read the Bible more and to pray and worship. It was all really effortless. We weren't doing things because we're supposed to. We did it because we just wanted to do it. And we sensed God's presence more. Of course, we all sense God's presence at different times. But now we could just more often. And it was more real. And so that was good. Yeah, it was. We did this all year, and it was a great year.
Okay, so we decided to go back the next summer. We had off, and they were still having conferences, so we went back. We heard them talking this time a lot about the fire of God, and I didn't know what that meant. And so anyway, a guy gave a talk on that, and he explained that when they refine gold and silver, they put fire under it. The impurities float to the top. The refiners scraped off the impurities, and you can see his reflection in the metal. And he was talking about how if we have the fire of God under us, then that will bring our impurities to the top, and then can see God's reflection in our lives. I thought that was kind of cool. So I let them pray for me for the fire of God. Then on the ride home after that week, we were driving along, and I felt like I heard something encouraging me to tell Chuck. You got to tell Chuck. And I thought, no, I'm never going to tell Chuck, because a friend of mine gave me advice. She says, you can never tell all that happened, because that will destroy your marriage, your family, everything. You can't tell. But I kept hearing, you need to tell Chuck all the details. And about that time, well, Chuck was driving and holding on to the wheel, of course, but he was kind of crunching over like this, because sometimes when he got prayer, he'd kind of get bent over like that. And all of a sudden he goes, I think God's trying to tell us something. So I'm thinking, uh-oh, I think that was God trying to get me to talk to him. So then I thought, okay, now I have to tell him. And we were just crossing from Canada into New York, and we had to get on the ferry. So we put the car on the ferry and got out of the car. And then when we were on the ferry, I told him the truth. And I told him that I had had this affair and all about it. And so that was a hard, hard moment. And it was painful and embarrassing and awful, but I did it. So then we got back in the car, started driving, and I had a horrendous headache all of a sudden. So I said, Chuck, can you pull over at a gas station someplace, because I need some ibuprofen. And so a little while later, he found the gas station. He pulled in on the side, and by a grassy area, he went in to get the ibuprofen, and I thought, wow, I'm feeling sick. I think I'm going to throw up. So I got out of the car, and I didn't throw up, but I had the dry heaves. I felt like, oh, something, I don't know. So he came back. Sometimes they sell roses in gas stations. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but they do. And so he came back, and he had this rose in his hand, and he gave it to me, and he said, Marianne, I forgive you. And I was really shocked and surprised that he did that, and it was really sweet. So we got back in the car and started to drive along, and I felt better, but I also felt more than my headache leaving that something, yeah, the secret was out in the open, the heaviness was gone. So that was a really important thing that happened after that year up there.
That moment on the ferry when she disclosed that there was a lot more going on than I ever realized, that was devastating. No spouse wants to hear those words. But I think it's so interesting, the timing of it, because we had just had a year of incredible blessing from God with the Holy Spirit, and we were such a good place in our marriage. And so, in a way, it worked out fine. I mean, it worked out, but we still had a lot of conversations. We had to go to some counseling and kind of talk it through and work it through. And in the end, we realized we had to tell our kids about it, you know, our children. We had to let them know what would happen. And one of the lessons is don't keep secrets.
Oh, I forgot to say this first service, but we had grown kids. They weren't little kids.
Yeah, they're grown kids.
So we're really talking about experiencing more of God today, but I think Chuck and Marianne and I all felt that as they were thinking about sharing the story with you, that if you're part of a couple that has experienced infidelity, whether it's out in the open or not, any of us would love to talk to you about that, because I think there's a remarkable story of Chuck and Marianne experiencing the best of their marriage after that came out in the open. Yeah. So it's so encouraging and beautiful, and thank you for sharing that with us today.
I just want to add to that, if there's anything we can share with you or that you can get from our experience, don't wait 30 years when you're in a major crisis to go to counseling. Start earlier, even when you don't need it, go, because it's just helpful. Realize you're both coming together, you both got your issues, work through them with someone else and get prayer for it. So that's a good lesson you can learn.
And real quick, other than your marriage, like where else did you experience change?
Okay, so for me, I knew it was always good to pray, but I didn't really love to pray. But all of a sudden at school, I thought, I'd love to pray. I'm going to pray for all the kids on my class list. I went through that. And then when my prep period came and I would take a break and walk around the halls, I was praying for the Holy Spirit to just be in the building. So that was fun for me. I was actually having fun doing this. And then one day after school, in the teacher's room, a friend of mine was in there, and she said, oh, I have a really bad migraine. It's coming. It's not, I don't, anyway. So I thought, wow, I think I should pray for her. But I'd never done anything like that, like ask a person to pray for them right then. So I said, would you like me to pray for you? And she said, yes, yes, that would be great. She knew that I was a follower of Jesus. I knew that she was Muslim, but she was okay with me praying for her. So I said, okay, in Jesus' name, I command this headache to go. I think that's all I said. And then we started talking about other stuff. And then a minute later, she goes, wait, my headache's gone. So I said, what? Really? Oh, big faith I had, you know. But it was really an exciting moment for both of us. So that was something that was new for me, daring enough to pray for somebody.
Well, I just want to add to that. This woman said, when I start getting these migraines, they last for 3 days. And that's always been the case. When she gets them, it progresses. And she was at the beginning of it, and it never came back. So, yay. So for me, there's a whole new openness to inner healing, dealing with past issues so you can be free in the moment, learning about forgiveness, experiencing a lot more of God's power for physical healing, a desire for that and for deliverance, things like that. And I think a whole new understanding about Jesus. We all know about Jesus, and we know he lived on the earth. But I didn't realize that Jesus did everything by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how he did it, because he was dependent as a man, even though he was God. And so those kind of things, like, I never saw anybody get healed. I don't think I ever prayed for anybody to get healed for the first 30 years of my Christian experience. But now I was, and I was open to it and loving people and realizing that I was missing a lot of what God wanted me to do.
And Chuck and Marianne, we're going to give you space in a second to pass on some tips, some encouragement to us, for those of you that like to kind of try this out a little bit. But we want to thank you too, because we feel like for the past, whatever it's been, 10 or 15 years as pastors in this community, you've helped us as a community continue to look to experience God as real and present to us. And that's been a huge gift that you continue on that journey and that you share that with us. And so I want to invite you, I think Marianne first, then Chuck, what would you suggest we try if we'd like to experience more of this for ourselves? And just in case you're wondering if I have to jot these things down, they're in your program as well, these tips, but we'll let Marianne and Chuck fill them out a little bit.
Okay, so I would recommend that every day or each day when you pray throughout the day, invite the Holy Spirit to fill you up. So we often, as busy people in our culture, tend to run low on gas in our spiritual selves. So our tanks get empty. I think it's good to remember that Jesus is with us. We can talk to him anytime through the Holy Spirit. We can talk to him anytime during the day. So it's good to take a minute and just check in with him. And the second verse that Steve didn't read that's in your program, it says, don't be drunk on wine, because that'll ruin your life, but be filled with the Spirit. And some of the translations say, keep on being filled. So I think that's interesting, and that we need to keep on being filled. So I'll let you talk about the breathing.
Chuck, you want to give us a show and tell for 30 seconds?
This is here. Show and tell. So I don't know about you, but everywhere you go, it says you got to do your breathing. You know, you got to do your breathing. But I don't know how you react to that, but it's really good to breathe. And then and just realize the Holy Spirit is breath. The Holy Spirit is breath. So we're going to practice breathing in God, the Holy Spirit. We're going to breathe him in deeply through our nose. Breathe through your nose. And then we're going to let out all the worry and fear and anxiety, especially going back to college, a lot of anxiety, let it out. And then, you know, at the end to say, thank you, Jesus. Something really simple. So we ready? Breathe through our nose. Come, Holy Spirit. Okay, everybody breathe deep in. Let it out. Let out the anxiety. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that cool? You can do that. Marianne and I did this 3 or 4 times this morning getting ready for this talk.
Yes. Okay, another one would be, come to church on Sundays open to experiencing something new. I think the open is the key thing there. So I think when I was finally open, just a little bit, to God, then I started having great things happen and new things happen and things got better. So the Holy Spirit won't usually mess with you more than you give him permission. So, but he does wait for your permission. So he does never override your own free will. You don't have to worry. You could just invite him, but it's up to you to make that choice.
I don't know if this is on your program or not, but one thing that really has helped us is to be thankful and appreciative a lot. And we'll be sitting in the car and we'll just say, you know, we can get kind of negative, you know, how you can kind of go down that road. And we just say, let's just be thankful for a little bit. So we just say, thank you, Jesus, for, and then start naming things. It so turns you closer to God and living in the moment. That's a really big help. Some things that we have set up that will help you if what we're talking about says, you know what, I'd like to learn more about these things. We're going to have a monthly class that will be announced. But if you give us your email information, we'll let you know about this class. And we're going to be talking about inner healing, experiencing the Holy Spirit, and teach you how to for physical healing. We'll do all these things during this class. And so if you're interested, you can email us. Also, we're going to have monthly Holy Spirit gatherings where we just come together to worship God and hear new things about the Holy Spirit and to get prayer. So those two things we'll be doing. If you're interested, on this card, it says more about prayer. If you check that off, we'll put you on the email thing because I think your email is on here. Or we have forms in the back. Or you can just email me, chuck@reservoirchurch.org, and I'll put you on the list and keep you informed about these things.
Great. So if you want to know about those workshops or those evenings, we'd love to tell you more. We're going to, in the rest of our service right now, create some space for whoever would like to try and experience a little more of God for yourself. So obviously you participate in any way you want, as much or as little as you want, but we'll invite you today, if you like, to invite the Holy Spirit to be real and personal for you. So it looks like our band is coming up and they'll start our music in the background at first. We'll continue with our service singing songs as we normally do. We'll have later the chance to take communion if you'd like to participate and come up front and participate in that with us. But this is the point of service where normally someone tells you how you could get prayer for someone if you want. And today what we'll do is Chuck and Marianne will lead us all together in some prayer to invite God to be present to anyone who would like to have that experience. And then if you'd like some more prayer after that, as we sing and take communion and whatnot, there'll be people in both back corners of the sanctuary, right by the quilt and the exit sign over there, who would love to pray for you. Chuck and Marianne, as well as some people from our church on our prayer team, would love to pray for you there after Chuck and Marianne lead us together here. So, okay. Take it away.
So here we are. We've been talking about this stuff. Let's see what God wants to do. You can enter into this as much or as little as you want, but I just encourage you. We've been sitting for a while. Let's stand up, so make sure we're all awake. And God, we just want you to, we know you're here. We know you're in our lives and that, but we just want to welcome you, Holy Spirit, right now. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We say, come and touch each of us, Lord. Come and fall on us. And for those of you that you heard Marianne's testimony, the gal told her just to hold your hands out. You can do that if you want. You don't have to, but it's a sign you're saying, I want more. I want more of you, God. So God, come right now. We do. We want more of you, Lord. We want more of you now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fall on us, Lord. Fall on us. Touch us. I pray your peace, buckets of peace on everyone in this room right now. Buckets of peace from heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let it fall. For some of you, this might be all new, and you can just say in your head, I'm not interested, or you could just say, God, I'm curious, or I want more. I'm scared, but I want more. That's okay. That opens up your heart. So just say whatever you feel like, just say it quietly. Come, Holy Spirit, keep falling on us, Lord. More of your love. Pour your love out on us, Lord. Pour your love out on us. Lord, we want to live in the moment with you. Allow us to do that right now, to let go of the past and the future, but live in the moment. For many of us, you've heard these things before, but let's start fresh today. God, I want more of you. I'm not satisfied. I want more. More of your love, more of heaven. Lord, give me more boldness. Whatever is in your heart, just say that to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Keep falling, Lord. Keep falling. Keep touching us. Fill us. Some of you might be feeling some things. You might feel some tingling in your fingers. I often feel tingling in my fingers. Some of you might feel something. Some of you might just feel some peace. Peace is really good. Whatever is going on, just say thank you, Jesus, for that. If you find your head thinking about a million things, and you're, you know, try to give that to Jesus and let go of it so you can live in the moment. More Holy Spirit. Keep falling. Keep falling. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to add that I think what I heard is what God wants to say to all of us, that all he wants to do is love us. So just receive that, because I think that's his message to everyone. All I want to do is love you.
That was such a good word Marianne heard so many years ago. Just say, thank you, Jesus, that you love me. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. Thank you for that. Yes. Amen. We're going to let the worship team now kind of continue, and we'll be praying for you on the sides, on both sides. I'll be over on this side, Marianne on this, and people from the prayer team will be with us praying. All we're going to do today is pray for more of God's love and more of his Holy Spirit. We're going to put a hand on your shoulder and just pray for God to fill you full, whatever you need. So we're going to be praying for that. So come on over if you want prayer. We're going to continue in our worship, and bless you.